This week is Thanksgiving coming up. Some of you are excited about that. Some of you are perhaps dreading that, depending on how much time you're going to have to spend with family or friends. Listen to Philippians 4. It says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all," especially on Thanksgiving morning. "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And here's the payoff verse: "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." During our service today, you're going to have two opportunities. One is going to be right now, and then one will be at the conclusion of the message, where you have an opportunity to publicly just say thanks for something in your life, to give praise to God. This is a chance where we can publicly, I know some of you don't like to speak in public, but take this opportunity. Maybe there's something that you are particularly thankful for in your life in this past year. For those of you that are not in that state of thankfulness, maybe you're here this morning to listen to what God is doing in the life of this church and this congregation. Let that be inspiring for you, even as you wrestle or you are resting in however you're feeling this morning. So if there's just a couple of us this morning that would like to share just something that you can praise God and give thanks for, I'd love to take the time to do that. And please speak up as you're able to.
Because I will never miss out on this opportunity to give thanks and praise to God. Every chance I breathe, He did it. Everything I have, He did it. My family, my sons, I'm so grateful from coming up the way I did. I'm very, very blessed. And He still blessed me every day. He blessed me with you guys. I get to be part of this church.
Amen.
I get to be alive today and have a roof over my head. I'm grateful.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In case you couldn't hear, Ray's wife Carla was in a car accident a couple weeks ago and she walked away unscathed. Praise the Lord. Anyone else this morning? You'll have an opportunity later on if you maybe think of something else during the service. Something else that you're thankful for this day.
I'm thankful that we can, no matter our ups and our downs, that we can do this together as a church family. And we don't have to do it alone.
Amen. We do this together as a church family. We do not walk alone. Maybe one more. Amen. God provides family and friends to help us get through difficulties. Amen. Amen. Let's take this moment and just tune our hearts to God as we offer these prayers. And everything that we've said so far has been a prayer to God. But let's take this opportunity and give thanks. Lord, we give you thanks this day. We thank you for who you are, your greatness and your goodness. We thank you that you hear us and that you are with us. And there is nowhere we can be that we are apart from your presence. God, in this week especially, will you help us to be more mindful of what's going on in our lives, of what you are doing around us. Open our eyes that we might see. God, for all of this, we give you thanks. And now will you receive our worship as we continue in song this morning. Amen. Good morning, church. I'm so excited to see you all here today as we get this opportunity to praise the Lord our God for all he is, all he has done, and all he will do in the time to come. Before we dive into the Bible this morning, I wanted to make sure that I didn't forget to do this. Our Covenant Church puts out a calendar, and this is called the Serve Globally Prayer Calendar, and it lists all of our missionaries all across the world. And especially this week, as we're thinking about Thanksgiving, and folks, you know, maybe you've got people that are driving to you, maybe you're driving somewhere, I thought it would be appropriate to just say the names of the folks that we're praying for today, because they won't have the opportunity to be with their families this week. Our missionaries this day, and I'll leave this on the back so you can take a closer look, are Cynthia and Peter Ekstrand. They have been working in the Democratic Republic of Congo since time began, I think. I don't know exactly how long. It's been forever. They are some of our faithful lifers as missionaries, and they have, oh, it actually says right here, 1981, they've been working in the Congo. And the Covenant Church has been partnering with the Covenant Church in Congo for over 75 years. And they're working in the least accessible province in one of the least accessible countries in the planet. It's consistently rated on the very bottom. Is that me? Sorry. I get too exuberant when I start going. And this area that they work in is consistently one of the lowest rated areas for human development anywhere on the planet. And we've been privileged to be able to provide help for over 75 years. So we're praying for the Ekstrands today. We're also praying for a newer couple, and they were short-term missionaries many, many years ago, and now God has brought them back together, Christy and Greg Faust, and they've been serving since last year in Germany. The Covenant, actually, for the first time in forever, has missionaries that are going back to Germany. And one of the cool things about praying for people on their particular day is often they will share stories about what God has done, the faithfulness that they've experienced on this particular day. And so this is one of the privileges that we get to do as a Covenant Church. So I'm just going to offer up a brief. We experienced that too. When Rebecca and I served as short-term missionaries in Spain, on the day that we were in the calendar, we had some things happen, and only did we realize this is our day, and suddenly we felt the prayers of people all across the world praying for us, and while it wasn't perfectly resolved in that moment, just knowing that we were prayed for somehow just bolstered our spirits at that moment. So I want to lead us just in a brief prayer for the Ekstrands and the Fausses, and that God would really just bless them this day. God, we lift up these couples to you that are faithfully serving you. And Lord, some you call to go far away, and most of us you call to serve right where we are. For the Ekstrands and the Fausses, will you bless them this very moment as they are later on in their Sunday, both in Germany and in the Congo. God, will you bless the work that you have called them to do, the partnerships that they are building, the people who they are working with, God, may they learn just as much as they are able to receive, give and receive. God, bless them this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have read this book before. It's called Sticky Faith. Or if you haven't read the book, then maybe you've heard of the lady who wrote it, Dr. Kara Powell. And she wrote this book called Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith in Your Kids. And if you haven't, and if you have kids especially, this is an excellent book. But she works for the Fuller Youth Institute right here in our state. And I came across an article that popped up on Facebook this week called Everyday Ideas to Help You Reclaim Gratitude This Season. And it's like a lot of things on Facebook, you know, everyone's got 8 ways to do this, 10 ways to do that. But I found a couple of hers particularly meaningful, so I wrote a couple of them down. And especially if you have children and you're a parent, you might resonate with some of these, but these could really apply to anyone. Number one, talk about what's happened this past year that makes it hard to be grateful. What's disappointed you or distressed you? See, we can be giving thanks. We can be giving God our joyful praise, but we also live in the reality that things don't always work out, that life isn't always sunshine and roses. And so being honest with kids, being honest with the people that we share life with, that can have a powerful effect and also make us more mindful of those moments where we really experience true gratitude for all that God has given us. Number two, use dinner or bedtime rituals to share or say or pray about one thing you're grateful for. Just like the ritual of brushing your teeth, even if you struggle getting your kids to do that, or you struggle yourself doing that. Number three, I like this one in particular. Surprise someone by not giving a consequence they deserve for a poor choice or a behavioral mistake. Why? Because that is what our Heavenly Father has done. Man, I get on a jail-free card? That might be kind of nice. And the last one I'll just mention this morning, involve others, whether family, kids, friends, to figure out one way to serve together. If you've got kids in particular, let them choose a way that your family can serve. If you've got a growth group, discuss a way that you can serve together as a group. We don't serve because we hope God likes us more or loves us more. We serve out of gratitude for God's grace. One last thing, this was really practical. I liked that she wrote this. If you're a tweeter, or if you're a poster, or an oversharer, she said, why not try posting something like this? And this is the phrase that's really going to drive this morning. Because of God's grace, we live our lives as thank you notes back to God. We live our lives as thank you notes back to God. Psalm 65 is like a thank you note back to God. All that we have received, we give thanks to God. And it describes a world where all of God's abundance is received by people, by creation, by everything around us. It's this living and giving cycle that God desires for us on the earth. Psalm 65, which we'll be reading in just a few moments, paints this wonderful picture of the character of God that we discover only when we come into his presence. And we're going to look at some of those things this morning. We're going to reflect on three things from Psalm 65, something that we learn about the Lord, something we learn about his purposes, and something we learn about ourselves in the process. The first part, approaching God. And of course, I just lost Psalm 65. Here we go. When we seek God's presence, whom do we find when we seek God's presence? The first thing we find, the Lord who is worthy of praise. I include that on the back of your bulletin if you're one of those note-taker folks. The Lord who is worthy of praise. Listen to verse 1 from Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. When we approach God, when we come into his presence, or it would be more accurate to say God's presence is always here, we're just sometimes not aware of it, but when we are in God's presence, we find the God who is worthy of all praise. For all he has done for us, it doesn't take hard to think about where you were, who you were, what you were doing, and to where you are now. And maybe you're not fully where you want to be right now, but God is bringing you on this journey, transforming you more and more to be like Jesus. And it might take the rest of your life. In fact, it will take the rest of your life. And yet he is with you. Every step of the way, he's worthy of our praise. It says the Lord God is waiting for his people to fulfill their vows. The promise to belong to him. When you said yes to Jesus, if you have made that commitment already in your life, you promise to be his. To be faithful, to love, to grow in faith, to be motivated by God's heart, and so much more. We could spend the whole rest of today just listing all of the ways that we can fulfill our vows to God. Yes, God is worthy of all praise. That's the first one. The second one, when we seek God's presence, we also find the Lord who hears prayers. Who hears prayer. Verse 2 says this, "You who answer prayer, to you all people will come." That sounds like a really simple verse. You who answer prayer, we find the hearing God. There are so many parts of our life where we do not feel heard, whether it's in your job, whether it's with your kids or your family, the people that you are trying to connect with on the street, those folks that you're trying to connect with online, your spouse, your kids, your roommates, your friends, politicians, coworkers, all those folks, you name it. And you get to that point, you say, "Are you listening to me? I'm just speaking from experience." It's a phrase that isn't in God's vocabulary because God is the hearing God. Now, he might be silent. He might have chosen to be silent for a time. But he's not being silent just to ignore you. He might be silent and he's waiting for you, waiting for something. When we come to him and approach God with an open heart, we know 100% certainty that God hears us. And I'm so grateful that we can do that because I know that when we pray, he hears. We can ask anything. We can trust him to answer us. Yes, God is a hearing God. We'll speak a little bit more about that in just a moment. Number three, the third thing. When we seek God's presence, we also find the Lord who forgives sins. The Lord who forgives, or you could put the singular collective, sin. That's no small thing. Verse 3, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Overwhelmed by sins. Whether it's taking the little cookie out of the cookie jar or something much bigger in our mind. Overwhelmed, you forgave our transgressions. Whom do we find? We find the forgiving God. And even when your sins have burdened you and are overwhelming you to the point of wanting to give up, to saying, "How can I keep on going?" A heavy weight that's on your back, God can forgive and does forgive. Some of you aren't feeling like you're worthy of forgiveness this morning. And yet when we turn to the Word, if God can forgive those whose sins were overwhelming them to the point where they were just standing like this, bent over, then God can forgive any of us. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've been with, or where what you're going to do this afternoon. God is a forgiving God. It's the activity that God alone does because he is God. His work of forgiveness in your life goes forward whenever you come to him. That's the cool thing. You know, sometimes when you read about the story of the Israelites that we've read earlier this fall, it can get kind of frustrating. It's like, did they ever learn their lesson? And then what we really should be doing is seeing this as like a mirror in our own life because we're kind of the same way. We keep making the same silly mistakes. We keep doing the same things over and over again. And yet God always will forgive us when we come to him. He wants that clear line of communication with you. I encourage you to seek that this week. God is a forgiving God. And the last thing in this opening part of the psalm that we find when we seek God's presence is we find the Lord who gives generously. Gives generously. Here's verse 4. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. When you seek God's presence, you find the generous God who wants to give everything to you, in fact, has already in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Seeking God's presence, even though we know he's here, we know he's always around us, and yet sometimes the noise of our life makes it really difficult to feel or sense his presence. But the Lord who gives generously is something that each of you, each of us can experience today, to be blessed by his presence as we choose to live with him. The closer we feel or the closer we are to God, if we could indeed get closer, we become aware of and we experience all that he wants to give to us, the good things of his house that verse 4 talks about. What are some of those things? Peace. That's how I describe peace. Yeah. Joy. Love, fulfillment, forgiveness, answered prayer, fellowship, celebration, joyfulness. You might even want to move around a little bit like David, who wrote this psalm, would have. What did David like to do? He liked to dance. Some of you aren't too much for moving. You prefer to just kind of do this, and that's okay too. Or maybe you just do it in your head. Or you do the sway. When King David wrote this psalm, he had in mind of the rain that God had brought, providing for the crops that his people needed economically to survive and thrive. And so he writes this as a psalm, a song of thanksgiving to God. It's a thank you note for all that God has done for them and for his world. It's this spiritual refreshment that he is thankful for. It's part of this coming to our generous God, the God who is worthy of all praise, the God who hears us, the God who forgives us, the God who gives everything to us. This is the God we find when we come into his presence. But what comes next should truly overwhelm us. See, when we come into God's presence, do you expect anything? Do you expect anything? If God hears you, what do you expect? I think this is at least part of what we should expect. We should expect an answer of some kind. Now, it might not be the answer that you want, but expect to receive a response. This would be the second part on the back of your bulletin. When we live in God's presence, we can expect to receive a response. Just like when I talked back to my dad as a kid, I could expect to receive a response. Not the response I wanted, but the response I probably deserved. I was hoping that I would have gotten that get out of jail free card for that moment, but it didn't happen. How does God answer or respond? I guess the short answer is that anyway he chooses to. That's kind of a cop-out answer for us. So let's turn to the Word again to see some of the ways that God responds. In Psalm 65, God answers his people with mighty acts that were worthy of praise. Listen to verses 5 through 8. They're all things that describe the greatness of God. Verses 5 through 8. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. I like that part. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. When God acts and displays his power, his presence, the whole world benefits. His powerful actions that we read about in his word, they're an answer that he provides. They may not be an answer that we understand, but they are an answer that puts our lives in perspective. That if God can form the mountains, if God can calm the raging seas, if God can even calm the turmoil of the nations, talk about today, then how can he do that for you? That almost seems pretty easy in comparison. That God can calm the storms in you. That God can bring about change through this church. That God can change your family. That God can answer your workplace stress. That God can even speak words of hope into situations where it feels pretty hopeless. The important thing is not really the question, how is God going to answer my prayer? But the reality and truth that he answers at all. You see, in mythology, the gods saw us or were presented as we were commodities. They don't really care about us. They're only concerned about themselves. Most of the gods in Greek mythology were distant things that never got close to humankind, let alone earthly creation. They didn't care to listen to our struggles. And when we even read in the Bible of all of the other gods that were worshipped by people, all of the things and sources that people prayed to, the Bible reveals them to be just sticks and stones or blocks of wood. Let me just bring one example. 1 Kings 18 is the famous duel between Elijah, the prophet of the Lord God, and all the prophets of Baal. And there's this contest to see whose God responds to the sacrifice. And all the prophets of Baal, they do all this stuff, and there's zero response. Nothing happens at all. And then Elijah steps up and he prays this. He says, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." This is what it says. "Then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried out, 'The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!'" He is the God who answers. He answers his people. He will answer you. It's not only his greatness that we see in this psalm. We also see that God responds in his goodness. And sometimes you're overwhelmed by the greatness of God. And you need to really feel the goodness of God. So let's look at verses 9 through 13. Let me read those for us this morning. "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops." Wasn't it so wonderful to experience that rain the other day? I mean, unless you had to be outside for any part of it. But just to see how everything felt cleansed as a result of it. You see the little bits of green popping up on the hills. Verse 11, "You crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. This is an experience of God's provision out of his abundance. Now, this was speaking to a group of people for whom those images really resonated. It's an experience of God who blesses growth. Those of you that have farm folks in your life, or you've lived in farming areas, you might understand that more. And obviously, we can think of crops, yes. But we can also think of all of the other kinds of growth that God blesses us with. You can picture growth that both seen and unseen in your own life, your heart, your relationships and attitudes and habits and feelings, with the Lord as the master farmer who is graciously tending you, bringing forth the growth that he desires. God is good. Verse 11, you crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. Isn't that a delicious statement? I like using that word with the Bible, delicious. Your carts overflow. Do you know literally it means your wagon tracks fill up with fat drippings? Does that resonate with anyone? Your wagon tracks fill up with fat drippings. It might not make any sense at first. But when we start to think about the Bible, fat is one of those things that symbolizes often richness, abundance, a luxury to give, even something that we can graciously offer back to God, the fat offering. And I apologize to any of you vegetarians or vegans out here, you're not going to like this part, but imagine cooking turkey later this week. And as you start to smell that, all that goodness that's in the turkey kind of drips down into the pan underneath. And, you know, some of you maybe, if you're my mom, you're kind of a health nut, so you'd toss all that out and we'd go, no, what are you doing? But for the rest of us, you take that and maybe you baste your turkey with it. Or maybe you make some gravy with it because you know that that's where all the goodness, all the flavor is. Now imagine this is the picture of God. That is, God walks through the earth. Fat, the goodness of God, drips off of him, and we follow behind, receiving all of that abundance. Maybe it's not the most appealing image for some of you right now, okay? So it might take a little bit of thinking, but you can think about that, especially on Thursday, this particular image. Other kings of the earth might hoard and take and eat while their people starved, but not the Lord God, our King. He gives out of his abundance everything he has. Wherever God goes, abundance flows when we walk with him. No other God can do or say that. Yes, we can expect to receive a response from God. And that leads us to the final part of this psalm. It's really easy to skim over the last part. When we receive from God, we respond with joyful praise. The last half of verse 13 says this, they shout for joy and sing, and if we circle all the way back to the beginning, praise awaits you, our God. See, when we respond to God with joyful praise, it brings us almost back in this cycle where we're more aware of all that we have already received. The people pictured in this psalm had experienced God. They had come to him in prayer. He had answered them, and they experienced the rain that they needed. God provided, and they respond with a harvest song. They praise God by showing their joy. And we can do the same thing. You might even want to, I know Diane wants to. We can sing in gratitude for all the Lord has given. we can respond just like we read in his creation, with joyful praise and thanks to the Lord our God. What a wonderful thank you note to God this psalm is for us, especially in this time where we're more mindful and we really want to be more aware of all that we can give thanks for. What an amazing God he is. So before we pray, I want to provide another opportunity for you this morning to respond to what God has done in and through your life, offering up a praise, giving thanks to our great and good God. Those of you that have your connection card, if you want to write a little extra thing that you're thankful for, we will pray for that this week and we will give thanks to God for that. How about just a few of you that maybe thought of something during the rest of our service, something that you can really give thanks to God for today? A couple folks. Thankful for family to be together. Praise the Lord. Thankful for kids coming home. Amen. Thankful that others, you said invade, I would say welcome us in when we're far from our biological families. Yeah. I give thanks to God today that Rebecca can play. Because 6 years ago, I didn't know she'd ever be able to play again. So I give him thanks. Thankful to receive God's love. Maybe one more before we pray. I encourage you this week, yeah. Susan.
Thankful for God for never giving up on me.
Thankful for God never giving up on me. Yeah, amen. Thankful for getting to see his grandson in a Veterans Day parade. Amen. Yeah. See, when we stop and pause, like, we could really keep going. There is just so much to be thankful for. Let's pray. Lord, you are faithful. You do offer hope to all who put their trust in you. We come today to celebrate the blessing of worshiping you as the Lord our God. Spirit of the living God, will you stir in us a deep measure of gratitude for all we have received because of your unending greatness and goodness to us. Father, you do forgive us out of your mercy. You are the hope of all people and all creation. Forgive our wandering hearts. Remove the darkness within us and fill us with your love and light. God, you are the one who listens. So now, being more aware of your presence today, we come to you to renew our vows to you just as your people of old would do. We offer our worship both now and throughout this week, our praise, our thanks, and our very selves to you. Your word in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we simply say now, thank you for saving us. Thank you for being you. Receive our songs of joyful praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.